What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Telling me I got to beware. Each time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hey, yo, I don't think they heard you, Stevie. Kick it to him again one more time.
Each time we stop.
This is Guns and Butter. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I'm here in the studio live. We missed our showtime today at 2 o'clock. We were going to play you Operation Masquerade, the bombings in Madrid with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. But because of the preemption and the continuing interest in these 9/11 Commission hearings, we got preempted, but we have a half hour now to discuss some of what you've been listening to over the past 2 days. And Ralph Schoenman has been kind enough to drive all the way in to meet me in here for this half hour so we could have a little half hour talk about the 9/11 Commission. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to be here.
Ralph, have you been listening to this?
Yes, I have, Bonnie, reluctantly. I have to tell you, it sort of puts me in mind of the saying by the American poet Ezra Pound, who said that the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get people arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. Now, the framework of this entire so-called inquiry is to discuss whether it was appropriate to commit mass murder earlier or later, whether one should target people in Afghanistan or Iraq and impute to them the responsibility for state terror, and then visit upon them unbridled violence. And so the frame of reference is, why didn't you do it before? Why didn't you kill them and go after them at an earlier moment? You had indications that the terrorists had attacked the World Trade Center in 1993, which, of course, as we all know, is a government operation established in the main media as such, from the Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Village Voice, the Dallas Muslim Monitor, and so on. Well, frankly, you know, what you have here essentially is the sectors of the ruling class lining up to control and define the framework of the debate and of discourse around these important and defining events.
I was reminded of your research, your work on the 1993 car bombing of the World Trade Center when I heard that come up. They've discussed a lot of these staged terrorist events, the bombing of the coal, the bombing of the embassies in North Africa or East Africa, the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, et cetera, et cetera. This is all being mentioned in this 9/11 Commission hearing, but in a very weird context.
Well, it illuminates what we've been, over a period of years now, really exposing as false flag operations. You take the example of the bombing of the United States embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. The San Francisco Chronicle had already established and documented that the coordinating figure in that particular event was an FBI operative who had been with the Federal Bureau of Investigation over a substantial period of time, had been designated to penetrate groups that were originally funded by the Central Intelligence Agency, and indeed had been at one point responsible for organizing the bodyguards for Osama bin Laden, the point man for the bombing of the United States Embassy in Nairobi, and the Israeli author Ben Menashe, in his book The Other Side of Deception, and has documented the false flag operations such as the Achille Lauro and the blowing up of the Bell Discotheque in Berlin, and the operations against Libya, which were the rationale, these false flag operations for bombing Libya and killing the daughter of Muammar Gaddafi. And they embrace the Pan Am 103 Lockerbie event, which has been established and documented by FBI and CIA and former Mossad and German intelligence officers as a CIA operation, which has been exposed in Barron's Financial Weekly and the Toronto Daily Star. As I've mentioned before, Bonnie, when the only congressman to take that evidence and put it into the congressional record went forward with it, James Traficant of Ohio was quickly found to be responsible for taking bribes and removed from Congress. So These are classical false flag operations, and they come on the heels of what we called Operation Masquerade, the bombing of Madrid. El País, which is one of the principal publications in Madrid, had on February 29th published a detailed contention, that's February 29th of this year, namely that the bombing of the World Trade Center in 2001 was in fact coordinated in Tarragona in Spain, and that the figures involved in that were people who were associated with Mohammed Atta, and that one of them was a roommate of Mohammed Atta in Hamburg and later coordinating with him in Spain, a man named Yarkas, who would be subsequently, along with a fellow named Zugam, indicted for the bombings in Madrid. Now, this is an extraordinary prescience on the part of El País, particularly because their main correspondent and the owners are associated with the Council on Foreign Relations, and not only with the Council on Foreign Relations, but with John Deutsch and with the United States Intelligence. Look, let's be very clear about this. The abiding evidence here is very straightforward. The people they're imputing responsibility for Madrid were indicted in Spain after 9/11 itself, except that they couldn't make it stick. They had no evidence. And after the bombings in Casablanca, again imputed to Al-Qaeda, these same people were arrested and indicted and held once again. They have been monitored since the August 2000, according both to Time and Newsweek and El País. They can't break wind without it being recorded in the intelligence agencies from Spain to the United States. But now we are told that these are the people who carried off the bombing of Madrid. And it's in a particular context. And that's what I think illuminates the emptiness and fraudulence of these hearings. Because these are all operations that have the hand of U.S. intelligence all over them. One of the things that I think gives, clarity and illumination to this reality is something called Operation Gladio, which was memorialized in a book by the Italian correspondent for The Guardian, Philip Willen, a book called The Puppet Masters, which documents that for a period of over 5 decades, since 1947 and 1948, the United States Central Intelligence Agency, from the formation of the CIA with Alan Dulles, carried out a series of terror operations in Italy designed to undermine the Communist Party and the Social Democratic Party, the Socialist Party of Italy, and the prospect of a coalition government in Italy.
The strategy of tension?
Exactly right. The strategy of tension, which was the predicate for a wave of bombings across Italy, including the kidnapping of the Prime Minister Aldo Moro, who was then murdered. All of this now, it's not a question of speculation, as the documentation in The Guardian has abundantly demonstrated, were intelligence operations masterminded from Washington. George Bush, Sr. himself, an instrumental figure in that demagnetizing campaign. And I mention this in particular because 24 years ago, the trains in Bologna, in Italy, had charges placed under their carriages, resulting in a devastating bombing in Bologna, very, very much following the fingerprint scenario of what has unfolded here in Madrid. Coming back then to these hearings, always the frame of reference is what?
Well, I was going to ask you, what are these 9/11 Commission hearings, what are they trying to orchestrate? What is this all about? I mean, obviously they were sort of forced into this.
Well, forced in this, after all, you have what is considered to be a defining moment in our recent history, the bombings of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in 9/11/2001, and there has not been an official investigation or inquiry to elucidate how this came about, what the timetable was, what the evidence really is, and anything to make sense of those events, let alone to establish their authorship and the way in which they were carried off. So, of course, there's been pressure upon the authorities to do this, but their dilemma is that any remote contact with the massive evidence shows their own involvement in these events.
Right.
And consequently, they've stalled and delayed, and they've parried, and they've avoided any of the obvious questions about the role of the putative hijackers, none of whom are on the lists of the aircraft that are supposed to have been hijacked, and the incapacity of the authorities to account for the collapse of the buildings on the basis of the impact of airplanes, the fact that the major people who are being accused of these events are all people who were trained by United States intelligence, have a long history of association with U.S. intelligence, were in fact trained at high-level U.S. Air Force bases, in Brooks Air Force Base, and in Air Force bases in Alabama as well as Texas. All of that, they of course don't intend to allow the public to know, at least through their own investigation. So what do we listen to for the past 2 days? We listen to basically self-congratulatory and masturbatory exchanges about whether they shouldn't have been more diligent in pursuing the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. Bonnie, let's back up a moment. You know, this is a sort of magnificent illustration of how the big lie works. You repeat and you repeat and you repeat and you repeat that this small handful of people who were funded by the Central Intelligence Agency, $6 billion worth for what became Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar in Afghanistan, long acknowledged and bragged about by such as Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, in his book The Grand Chessboard. And this Central Intelligence Agency apparatus, the remnant of it, is held responsible for the events of 9/11. Well, what is the evidence for that? For a long time, they couldn't do anything about evidence. They didn't have anything, and they relied on Tony Blair, and they came up initially, as you remember, with a videotape imputed to Osama bin Laden, taking responsibility and crowing, supposedly, about the effects of the bombing of the World Trade Center. But when it was examined by experts in London, it was found to be a scissors and paste job in which they married the videotape of 2 years previous when Osama bin Laden was at a wedding reception. And, of course, his voice and the actual language and words couldn't be heard, and they had to be translated and transfigured by U.S. Central Intelligence Ops. It was a scissors and paste job, transparent. Then they followed that with another one of these things, which they imputed again to Osama bin Laden, and they said that a paraplegic sheikh had been visiting him from Saudi Arabia, having departed from Kandahar, and that Osama bin Laden was discussing the specifics of 9/11. And the problem with that is that the time when they said it occurred, namely the full moon during Ramadan, ain't no full moon during Ramadan, unfortunately, and the paraplegic sheikh was nowhere near there, and saturation bombing prevented any access to the area. A total, thinly disguised fabrication. And so it goes. So the responsibility for this item of organization of the intelligence agencies called Al-Qaeda for the events of 9/11 has never been, in any sense, established by a scintilla of evidence. And look carefully at what is happening here. While these hearings are going on, the March 29th issue of Newsweek is telling us that terror organizations have metastasized, that they are no longer in any way subject to Al-Qaeda, that they're everywhere. DEPCA, the Mossad news service, in essence, along with its reflections in Time magazine and the established press and London and The Guardian and in Germany and what have you, are telling us that there are now 100,000 sleeper operatives in Europe, over 100,000, 45,000 in France, over 10,000 of them in Great Britain. And listen to this, they're white. What do they mean by that? Why, they're indigenous native Frenchmen and Britons and Germans, and they meet in cafes, and they meet in nightclubs, and they go to movies, and they theaters, but they're sleeper operatives. It's the new terror apparatus. They're everywhere. They're no longer so detectable. They're not just immigrants. They're not just Arabs. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And the next massive attack we're promised by the Sir John Stevens, the head of the Metropolitan Police in London, it's inevitable. It's going to be a massive attack on London that will dwarf Madrid. And the, if you recall, Bonnie, leading up to these pseudo-hearings, you had Tommy Franks, you know, the commander of the murder operation in Iraq, a country with 1/10,000th the military capacity of the United States. And you have these political imbeciles at these hearings going on about whether there were weapons of mass destruction, the very premise here. What is the center of enormous capacity of mass destruction but the ruling class and the Pentagon, and it's a vast imperial reach, this desperately impoverished country, first of 17 million people when they first attacked it and laid it low and absolutely devastated it with a greater amount of tonnage than was used in the entirety of World War II, when this small country destroying its infrastructure. All of this is the big lie, a framing of issues that has no relation to a reality that the people of the world have seized. And what they keep doing is promising us that this is nothing. You wait and see.
That's right. They keep scaring people. Well, they keep saying over and over again, there's going to be another attack. There's going to be an attack in the United States. It's going to be larger than 9/11.
Maya, excuse me, Bonnie. shows what the... yes, absolutely. The article by Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times last week, and previous to that by William Safire, now picked up in the March 29th issue of Newsweek and of Time magazine. Previous to that, in March 22nd of Newsweek, a nuclear attack, suitcase nukes, is almost inevitable. Kristof is telling us that there's no way to prevent it. The same theme has been sounded, as I mentioned, by Sir John Stevens, the head of the Metropolitan Police in London. And Atlantic Monthly, in its current issue, has a feature story called Armageddon. Once again, the same theme. The terrorists are coming. The terrorists are coming. It's terror, terror, terror. Nuclear weapons, biological weapons. And they point to the conventions of the Republican and Democratic parties that are taking place in cities right over train stations.
Yes.
The Armageddon piece, by the way, to illuminate what this really is about, describes how, for the past 24 years, Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney have been point men in a secret government that meets on a regular basis underground, that takes 40 to 50 national security officials and has created the apparatus for running the country after the civilian administration has been set aside, either on the basis of a putative nuclear attack or some national emergency. And this article, Armageddon, whose timing is not fortuitous, is concludes with, again, a reference to the canceling of elections in 2004, that very theme orchestrated by William Rothkopf in Washington Post. Massive terror attacks will unfold, biological weapons, nuclear weapons involved. This is a terrorizing of the people on behalf of a ruling class that is increasingly isolated and increasingly confronted. Look at the consequence, for example, of their predictable testing of the waters, tragically again, on 3/11 in Madrid. 911 days after the first attack on September 11th, 2001, playing mind games with people indeed. Mm-hmm. And all of the established authorities insisting that this massive attack in Madrid, imputed to the, quote, terrorists, unquote, will result in a panic on the part of the population, inducing people through numbed acquiescence to embrace the party in power. Mm-hmm. The puppet regime, the Francoist regime that had authorized Spanish soldiers in Iraq. And what happened instead? The population revolted. 90% of the Spanish people have been opposed to this imperial war in Iraq. And contrary to the expectations of the planners of this atrocity, and I insist that the evidence, as we demonstrated in the two-part show that we did, Operation Masquerade, the bombing of Madrid, the hands of U.S. intelligence are imprinted upon the events of Madrid as massively as they are in relation to 9/11. And so what, then, is Newsweek telling us? There is panic in Washington. Panic because the expected response in Spain did not materialize. panic because their assumption that the bombings in Madrid would prepare for the most massive repression across Europe that would make the Patriot Act look tame. All of this written out here now in the current issues, March 29th issues of Time and Newsweek. The anticipation of the authorities was a massive repression and panic in Europe that would consolidate control for the ongoing permanent war that they have in mind. What was the consequence of this bombing? The opposite. And what do they conclude from that? Essentially, if you look at the March 29th issue of Newsweek, up the ante. Well, they say they have to expect even more massive attacks now in Germany and in Great Britain and in Italy and in Poland and notably in the United States, the consequence of which will be the recognition of these populations of the necessity for ending the tolerance of civil liberties in their societies. We are being terrorized, and these hearings are, in my judgment, as you listen to the way they're framed, a theater in tandem with the orchestrated events that the journals of official opinion have been developing across the planet.
Well, yes, a theater, Ralph. Coincidentally, I got a call this morning from Michelle Chosadovsky, and we got in a little conversation, and he brought up this Richard Clark, who testified today, by the way, and he's got a new book out, surprisingly
right.
enough,
mm-hmm.
A CIA intelligence asset being presented as a whistleblower.
Right. I think Michelle is quite right about the role that Clark is playing here, because what is Clark stating? He's saying that Wolfowitz and Bush were telling him, hey, go after Iraq right after 9/11.
Right.
Not Afghanistan, but Iraq. Well, frankly, I mean, we've had the call for the dismembering of Iraq since 1979 coming out of the National Security Council and the neocons and Jinsa and the American Enterprise Institute and this whole cabal that is the liquidization of imperial policy in the United States, the PNAC, all of this has called consistently for the fragmentation of each Arab country in its turn and the seizure of its resources and its oil. We didn't need Richard Clark to tell us that this was their scenario on the eve of, or I should say in the aftermath of 9/11, although the fact that he's doing that is, in my judgment, I think Michelle is in agreement with this, basically the soft cop, hard cop scenario in which a sector of the class, seeing that they're in a quagmire in Iraq, wants to offer some limited criticism and to describe how it might be done better. But what is the predicate? Go after the terrorists. Go after the terrorists. Crack down on the terrorists wherever they are. And not just be focused on Iraq, but on the necessity. Look, you have the other side of this coin reflected in John Kerry.
I was just about ready to say, everyone is saying that. There's no disagreement on that, right? With regard to going after these so-called terrorists.
Well, Kerry's formulation is to increase the number of troops in Iraq.
Right.
And in particular, to increase by 100,000 the special forces that pose as police within the United States. And, again, Kerry, to crack down on terror by arresting people before they act. He's flanking Bush to the right. Just as today, Kerry had declared that Bush is not going after Chavez in Venezuela and is, again, flanking from it. So the nature of the discourse of this 1% of our population that owns 90% of the national wealth is the frame of the discussion within the terms of coercion. The methods and the tactics and the measures of coercion. But what they're confronting here, particularly with the revolt in Spain, because this is nothing less than a revolt by the population, this rejection of the ruling paradigm in the face of a massive attack intended to terrorize the people of Spain resulted in a wholesale rejection of the established order. ILWU, the Longshore Workers Union, Local 10, here in the Bay Area, has now issued a call for a million worker march on Washington in October.
Oh, that's really exciting, Ralph.
To advance a workers' agenda independent of the parties and independent of the politicians and to break with this imperial policy of permanent war, and to break with the subjugation of our people and the permanent class war that is rolling back the gains that we've made for 100 years and is raced to the bottom, the sweatshopization of labor on a global scale. This is what is panicking the rulers, and frankly, these hearings are theater designed to confine the discussion and to define the reality so that we cannot challenge what is really taking place, which is an intensified class war that requires state terror ubiquitously to justify their $1 trillion of militarized budgets and perpetual armed interventions in every sector, while the repression is in tandem with the attacks on our standards of living. Specific to the hearings, Bonnie, think carefully, brothers and sisters, about every question that's coming down from these officials who are supposedly carrying on an investigation, all of whom, without exception, have a history and a relationship, of course, with the national security apparatus of the National Security Agency or the Central Intelligence Agency or the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Or with Al-Qaeda, for that matter.
Well, yeah, there you have it, because, as you say, like Milt Bearden, one of the people, Bonnie, that has been cited constantly is Milt Bearden. Milt Bearden is a Central Intelligence Agency operative. He's a prognosticator about how Al-Qaeda is going to do this and do that. He should know. He set it up.
That's right. Yeah, I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, well, Milt Bearden was the point man for Osama bin Laden and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and for all of the... you see, one of the things is, I think Michelle had also cited the important work by Philip Willen in his book, The Puppet Masters. One of the things that emerges from Operation Gladio is that these... various organizations that are deemed terrorist are not only initiated and funded by Central Intelligence, but then when people are recruited to them on the basis of participating in these operations, they are set up for further acts that are in fact authored by the agencies themselves. That's what happened in Bologna. That's what has occurred in Italy for 40 years. One quick mention about that. In 1967, when I was with Bertrand Russell in London, the Italian newspaper Paese Sera was carrying out an investigation. And it was an investigation into the preparations for a military coup in Italy that had been widely discussed as it had occurred in Greece. And in that six-month investigation, they turned up what were CIA proprietorial organizations in Italy. One was called Centro Mondiale Commerciale, or World Trade Mart, and the other was called Permindex. And the key figure in that was a man named Clay Shaw, located in New Orleans. This, indeed, was the link, if I may mention it, between the state terror abroad and the state terror at home, because it was the execution of the Kennedy brothers and Martin Luther King and Malcolm that grew out of the Operation Gladios and the CIA and National Security Agency sponsored terror operations in every place in the world where people are in struggle and where repressive regimes had to be maintained by the U.S. These hearings are a cover for that reality, to orchestrate it and to prevent us from penetrating the lies and the facade. But the hearings that will take place here this weekend will do something different than these official hearings have done.
Well, Ralph, that's what I wanted to mention before we got off the air. You, in fact, are giving a speech this Saturday night, May 27th, at the Herbst Theater in downtown San Francisco, part of a three-day 9/11 inquiry. Maya Schoen will be speaking Saturday evening as well. I believe Jim Hoffman and Jerry Russell are on the agenda for late Saturday afternoon. There's 3 days of speakers. Daniel Hopsicker, there's lots of people speaking. You can go to www.cityboxoffice.com or for a complete agenda, www.911inquiry.org. And somebody couldn't find that because they didn't know how to spell inquiry. So it's 911inquiry.org. And that's this weekend, Friday, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I just wanted to mention again that Ralph Schoenman will be speaking on the category of terror and a lot of what we've been speaking about today. That will be Saturday evening, and Maya Schoen will be speaking as well.
Evidence and not cover-up, we hope.
This week on Full Circle, let's talk